This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to get into today. We have got a former crew headman back in a head role, so we'll talk about that and who he is bringing along with him. It's Caleb Porter to New England, in case you weren't picking up on that.
Spoiler alert.
We'll talk about all that. Another crew coach gets a job. We'll get into that as well. Some news that might make Beamer just
it's
walk away from soccer.
I think I'll be done. This podcast has had a nice run. I've enjoyed my time watching the games and talking about it and everything that goes on. I really enjoy it. I will be finished. I'll be done. I'm just walking away if this happens.
I understand. And you know what? I don't blame you at all, is what I'm saying. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. So plenty to get to there. Beamer, how's the week been?
Yeah, been good. Actually, it's been crappy, but no, I was just playing. It's been okay.
I heard you had a little Willie not sleeping and that all kind right. of, that's, you're in that time of year that time of life as a parent where it's like, we talk about this. Parenting is just, no one prepares you that there's no backup. You're just,
it's there by
it's
myself.
It's like some days it's just you and your spouse
and
is off, got
somewhere.
Things going and you got to just
work.
Be there. Yeah. Work, go figure.
So every day, I think I've said this here on the podcast. So I get home, like Thursdays are nice for me because I get home a little bit later. Usually I'm done with our radio show at 9 o'clock. And you know, if I've got to cut up some stuff, I'll stick around until 9:30. I mean, I'm usually home by 10 o'clock every morning, unless something extremely out of the ordinary, like our podcast, but we already build that in for the week with our nanny and, you know, like that's fine. So Monday night, and I know that nobody cares about this, neither do we, and we don't have to talk about the outcome of the game. Monday night, there was a big college football game going on. I forced myself to watch said college
stayed
football game.
Stayed up late to watch it, even though you do a morning
late.
Show where you got to get up at 4 in the morning
yep.
to be here.
I fell asleep. I went to bed around 12:30, 12:45, and I was feeling okay about that. It was really no big deal. About 1:15, as soon as I'm getting ready to shut my eyes, good old Willie boy is crying downstairs and he's starting to stand in his crib. I think we went over that last week. So he just he can't sit down. He starts yelling because he can't get himself down. So we've been working on that. So instead of just like plopping him back down onto the crib, onto the mattress, putting the pacifier back in, like we want to work him down so that he will be able to do this by himself.
Yeah, right.
So that happens about 1:15. I go back upstairs. By the time that I finally fall asleep, it's like 1:45. Alarm goes off. I'm like, that's a couple hours. It's no big deal. I can wait until 12:30 to get my afternoon nap. And he's usually good for at least an hour and a half, if not 2 hours.
And Meredith is working. So
she's
working.
I'm on dad duty from 10 o'clock till 3:30, 4 o'clock every day, which is great. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's part of the perks of doing the morning show is you get to do that stuff, be around your kid, all that. Yeah,
it's great. And then, you know, go to put him down for a nap, 12:30, 12:45. Okay, this is good. Boom. He's not standing up in the crib. He's out sleeping. All right, cool. That's nap time for dad, too.
Yeah. Like
turn the monitor on. I'm literally closing my eyes, and then he's back up, back standing. I'm like, all right, put the pacifier back in. Try to go back to sleep. Nope. I didn't turn on the lights, but he had the pacifier in, the sound machine on, and he was just in his crib standing. And when I walked in that room, it was all smiles. I'm like, don't.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
Yeah.
Don't do it. You need to nap. Because if you don't nap, you're going to be a gremlin here in an hour. And then all of a sudden you're not going to nap anyways. And so there was no nap on Monday. There's zero nap on Monday after I had gotten 2 hours of sleep the night before.
Yeah. That is the time was apparent where you're like, what is I can't function. I can't, you're just surviving at that point. And that's where if he was slightly older, you're like, this is called a tablet. It's got Bluey and Dora the Explorer and whatever else you want to watch. That's
We're not
going
there
on.
Yet.
And I'm going to sit on the couch and kind of doze off as you're looking at that. And I hope this works because otherwise I can't do anything else. Like I'm out. Like I've got nothing.
Yeah. So Monday rolls around. All of that's happening. And again, then he becomes a grouch. Like, you know, 1:45. Who would have ever expected that to happen?
Yeah.
Meredith gets home And I mean, I've been through the ringer that day, right? Like, I'm already dealing with Monday night's game and mentally processing all that.
Uh-huh.
Again, yeah, we don't have to talk about that. And then, you know, I got a belly full of white dog crap. Now you want to lay this on me.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
Meredith, as soon as she gets home, I just, I'm like, here you go.
Here's a bit. Here's
she
a
goes,
kid.
How was the day? I'm like, it was fine.
I got to go to bed.
She goes,
sleep.
I was going to go to Easton to run something back. Are you okay with watching him? I'm like, you better, you take that baby with you. I'm like, I need,
it's like, no, I'm not good at all.
I need 45 minutes to an hour to decompress.
I am not good at all.
What just happened?
Yeah, I'm not good
other,
at all.
Other, but the week has gotten better. The
yeah,
week
yeah,
has
that's
good.
Good. That's good. You know what? I had, because I had a weekend where I just like Saturday, I think it was Sunday night. I was just like, this is not, and then Sunday scaries, Monday's coming yeah, back, all yep, that stuff. And I'm just like, I don't know. I had a moment. So I got up Monday morning and said, I'm getting up early. I'm going to a park and I'm walking.
Nice.
Because I find I love getting outside. I haven't done it a lot. Obviously, the weather's been, it's not been bad.
Rain,
it's not like it's been
rain.
Well, yeah, it's been gray and rainy for like 2 months, and we got four more months of that. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't care. I'm getting outside, and it helped. It helped a lot. But that, and I got my first little of 2024, not a resolution, but like I do a checklist. I got like 24 things in 2024 I want to
nice,
do. So one of them is I want to read 25 books this year.
Good for you.
I read like 23 last year and got. But I was like, so I wanted to do 25 last year. I got to 23, but audiobooks are one of the ways I do that.
Yeah.
Cause I have a long commute.
Yep.
So when I'm not listening to The Fan, I'm listening to an audiobook 9 times out of 10. So my first book of the year done.
Good.
And it was a book called, The Rise and Fall of Dinosaurs.
Oh, interesting.
And it is about, it's a paleontologist who wrote this book, and it's all about like, you know, all these different time periods, and it walks you through how the dinosaurs came to be. And then eventually, what killed them off, except for the fact, and this is the twist in this book, we've got dinosaurs, baby. They never died. They're here.
Alligators.
No.
Birds.
No. I mean, yes, birds. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Birds are dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And it, like, the guy's like, they're not from dinosaurs. They're what dinosaurs, like the ones that survived the comet, asteroid, whatever hit this planet that vaporized them. That is what the working theory is in science now, is that the ones that were left were the small winged ones that could fly away and get to other places. And that's they are like identical to dinosaurs. They have all the same features. T-Rex and a robin in your yard have the same type of lungs. This is no joke. They have the same type of lungs. They have like they're very similar. And so they're like, yeah, they're not like dinosaurs. They are dinosaurs. They are what became of dinosaurs. Right. My brain just exploded. And now I realize when I go bird watching, I'm actually dinosaur sighting.
Look
and I'm
going to
start calling it that. I'm just out here watching dinosaurs. No, I'm not looking at a blue jay. I'm looking at a blue Janosaurus Rex.
Diplodocus is what I'm looking at.
Diplodocus, good one. I like that.
Well, I've to your point about the books, I've also been reading a lot of books,
yeah,
children's books, nighttime books. So
oh, sure,
I think
yeah,
I'm already at 25, probably through the year.
Yeah.
You know, can I find the dinosaur? That's a big one. Stegosaurus, Diplodocus.
I was going to say, what's the big book for Willie that you're reading right now? Is there one?
Yeah, I mean, he's all over the place
yeah,
with them.
We have one that's something about, it's like Cute-tastic or something like that. It's a book about a cat that is so cute, it causes everyone it sees to explode.
That's a good one.
And
Llama
so then,
Llama Red Pajama.
Llama Llama's huge. But my book that I always go to is, the Great Green Room with the Red Balloon. There was a picture of the cow jumping over the moon. Gosh, what is that called?
I don't know.
Goodnight Moon. That's
okay,
what it's called.
Goodnight Moon. We have Goodnight. We're reading Goodnight Farm.
Okay. Goodnight Moon is like, and I pick it because it is the shortest book that, like, it takes 2 minutes to read it.
Yeah.
But now Abigail knows all the words. She's 4. So I will purposely switch up the words and be like, in the Great Green Room, there was a saxophone instead of telephone. And she'll be like, no, Daddy, it's a telephone. And then we just do that like the whole time. So. That's fun. All right. Anyway, enough about us.
I've thought about my resolution for last year, too.
Yeah.
You've asked me if I have any resolutions.
Yeah.
Mine is to be the worst version of myself possible. Just the meanest, the most
good,
unruly. I'm
good,
not going to listen to
you
anybody. I think that's
do that
what's
too,
on tap for me.
I'm
going to
do that, too. Screw being the best. Be your worst self
yeah,
this year. Not, like, in ways that hurt people. Just,
no.
Just like,
so that hurt yourself.
Yeah. Should I have some asparagus or this Little Debbie?
Should I eat my words and not listen or just listen kindly to what people say to me, or should I fire back at them?
I like that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be the worst version of myself.
There you go.
That's my resolution.
Good resolution. I like it.
It'll be 3 months before I tell you to screw off on this podcast.
Speaking of screwing off, that's what we're doing so far to start this thing. So we
that's
probably,
usually what we do. We do a nice 10-minute. We do a 10-minute cold open.
Yeah, and then we get to the actual soccer for like 9 minutes, and then we wrap the show up. So this is
that's true.
This is some good news, I guess, for him personally. Not great news for the crew. Crew 2 head coach Laurent Courtois is now the head man in Montreal, which makes
it's
all the sense in the world,
fitting, isn't it?
Makes all the sense in the world. He is a guy that clearly is a very good head coach at the, you know, Crew 2 level, the MLS Next Pro level. Got that team to 2 MLS Next Pro finals in 2 years, one of which they won. We won't talk about the other one because who needs
didn't
to discuss
exist.
Who they lost? Yeah.
It's like the national championship
didn't
college
happen.
Football game.
It Monday. Didn't happen. Yeah. That's right. But in either case, great success by him. He's done a lot of good things for the Crew. We're sad to see him go as Crew fans. The thing that, you know, I think probably makes sense to me is that Wilfried Nancy and him, you know, probably worked okay together, but also Laurent Courtois wants to be a head coach of a Major League Soccer team and or beyond. And once Wilfried Nancy was selected for that job, it was probably short time on when he would get a call to go elsewhere. It is ironic that the place he's going is the place that let Wilfried Nancy walk, that the Crew obviously paid handsomely to get him to do. That the fact that that job opening is created in part because the guy they brought in this past year, whose name I forget, sucked, and they said, never mind, let's go do what we should.
Well, it's such a unique beast, Montreal, right?
Yeah, of course. You're in a predominantly French-speaking part of Canada.
Playing in an American league.
Yeah, playing in an American league. So it's you've got, like, you're the only French-speaking, like, your club's official language is French.
Yeah.
Your website is French when you go there. It's the only one in MLS that's like that. That's difficult, right? I mean, that's just it's a little bit on its own. It can be a bit of a weird thing, but I think that's why you have to find the right person who can do that. And obviously, Laurent Courtois has, you know, no problem, you know, dealing with being a French-speaking place. I mean, I don't think that matters. It shouldn't matter a ton, but I think it certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it helps.
Just like the Canadians in hockey, right? I mean, they typically want to find someone who has a background either from France or French-speaking or certainly not afraid to learn the language, that kind of thing. So I think all of that matters, but I also think it matters that he's a really good coach. So that Montreal team was good under Wilfried Nancy. Last year they struggled.
They took their playoff lives down to decision day, I think.
Yes,
so I mean they were on the outside looking in.
Yeah. They were not as good as they had been under Nancy. So the question will be how quickly can Courtois get them back? But that's another team in the East that is going to have a good head coach. Hate to say it, there's another really good team in the MLS that just added in the MLS. I just did it. I can't believe it. I have to retire now.
You know
I said
what?
The MLS.
I say it all the time. Who cares?
I know, but it's...
I say the NBA.
Yeah, I know, but it's...
In the Major League Soccer.
But it's like irregardless, where that's not the word.
Also, that's not a word.
Irregardless is not a word, correct. And the Major League Soccer is not a thing. MLB, Major League Baseball, is how we say that. We say MLS, Major League Soccer. The NBA is the National Basketball Association.
That's true.
The National Football League. These make sense. National Hockey League. Those are all the leagues. Not the soccers and the baseballs.
Look at you.
Look at me working out the English. Yeah.
I once failed English in middle school, so I'll say the MLS as much as I want.
That's fine. You should. Anyway, the other team in MLS that is...
I was really hoping you were going to say it right there.
Very good is New England.
Yeah.
And they had their whole drama with Bruce Arena last year. That partnership has ended. They walked away. Everybody
moved
on.
Did we ever hear what happened with that? Like, did we ever get a final story?
I feel like it got resolved in the sense that, like, I think he would have been able to come back, and he just was like, no.
Okay.
I think that's, you know what? I could be totally wrong. I thought they came to a point, though, where they're like, this is over now. He could come back and coach. And then it was like, no, we've moved on.
No, we're good.
I think he moved on as much as anything and was like, no, I don't want to be a part of this. If you don't want me, I don't want you, that kind of thing. But they have now hired Caleb Porter, which we mentioned last week. Caleb Porter has brought in Jonathan Mensah.
Mm-hmm.
Who Jonathan Mensah was in San Jose this year. And, you know, San Jose was not a great team this year, but Jonathan Mensah is a really good MLS player who I think probably is going to, I mean, I'll go ahead and early pencil him in for a comeback player of the year type of season, because I think you get someone who's got the understanding what Caleb Porter wants to do with the talent that New England has. There is going to be some reshaping of that roster. There's going to be getting some guys to buy in. Obviously, we have talked extensively on this podcast about how Caleb Porter can rub people the wrong way.
Yeah,
and
but he does it I mean, the first few years of the Caleb Porter experience, he gets the best.
You get a banger of a season out of that team.
You know exactly what you're going to get with him. It is not a head coaching hire that is going to last 6-7 years, 10 years. It's not going to happen.
It's a quick burn.
In ownership and management, they understand that. New England sees an opportunity with their team. They won Supporters Shield a couple of years ago. They were in the playoffs this year.
I mean, I'm saying this team was like on the way this year to having a really good year until all that crapped out with, you know, where they kind of, they fell down in the standings quite a bit after the Bruce Arena drama and all that. So
like they're pre-built. It's a good destination. A couple of tweaks here, a couple of tweaks there. Go out and get some players. Okay, Caleb obviously has an identity and in a way that he likes to play the game. Team is going to buy in. They're going to have a 2-3 year window in which they win a lot. Like it's the way it is. It's the path that has always been for Caleb Porter.
Well, and I feel like when Crew fans heard we were getting Caleb Porter, it was like, all right, we got this guy who's won pretty much everywhere he's gone. And I'm guessing New England fans are feeling the same way. They have to. They have to look at this team and say, yeah, if we can get what he usually does with most of the teams that he's done in MLS and even when he was at Akron, we should be really successful. And they know they've got the makings of a good roster. So now the question mark is putting that all together. And again, I don't know. Maybe Jonathan Mensah doesn't walk in as a captain, but I'm guessing Caleb Porter isn't making that decision lightly to have him be on the team. If nothing else, he's one of those guys like how Steven Marrera is here. Yeah. Steven Marrera is not a captain on this team, but everyone knows he's a leader, you know? And that's a thing that I think clearly, you know, Jonathan Mensah is a captain. He's that type of player. Whether or not he gets the armband is a different thing, but a little bit of inside baseball on that. So Brother Bone is in the real estate game. Mm-hmm. And if you have not, I haven't talked much about him in recent months, but Brother Bone is the guy that we talked about a few years ago and last year, more going to Peterborough, to England.
Up the posh.
Yeah, yeah. The third division team, but they were up in the second division at one point. And my brother Derek, Brother Bone, he got connected with that club. He went to a game and literally got to meet the owner of the team, got his phone number, and they chatted. They've been friends since. Like, when he goes to England, they, like, roll out the red carpet for him when he shows up at these games. They interviewed him in their program when they played Manchester City in
FA Cup.
FA Cup, not Open Cup. That's U.S. So, like, this is Brother Bone. He always runs into people. Guess who Jonathan Mensah's realtor in Columbus is?
Brother Bone.
Yeah. So my brother is in real estate.
Jake Ballard.
So he's like texting me like, I think this is happening. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not, you know, again, like I'm not going to report. He wouldn't want me to anyway, but he had been telling me like, I think Mensah's when Porter got that job, he was like, I think John is going to take that job. And I was like, sounds good. It makes sense. He should go there. And so now that that's all happened, I can say that, but yeah, so Brother Bone and also Brother Bone photographer. He does that on the side. My brother has like a million talents. He's done like every little thing.
Big land grant connoisseur too.
Big land grant guy. Loves land grant. So he and Jonathan Mensah loves photography. So they bonded after seeing some photography on the Instagram. They start like, hey, I like this. And Mensah was like, can you show me some stuff? And they started comparing notes on photography. And then Derek's like, by the way, I'm a realtor. And he's like, by the way, I got a place to sell.
So of course, of course.
Yeah. So there you go. But good for Jonah. I hope he gets a good run there in New England. Not good enough to knock off the Crew, obviously, but yeah, he deserves it. And it's one of those things that we forget about. That was something we were complaining about heavily when the season was starting. Like they dropped him a couple weeks before the season. Remember that?
It was in it was at this time last year.
It might have been even later than this. I feel like it was
it?
Only like
was
a few weeks.
February?
I feel like it might have been a few weeks before the season where they just, I'm sure they were working it out to try to get, it feels like it was later. It was not early, I don't think, but maybe I'm wrong. Either way, MLS offseason is compressed, so it all feels kind of early and it all feels kind of late at the same time. But
Bone, the first Crew match is February 24th.
I know, man. We're like
less than six weeks away.
Yeah, we're rolling right up to it. So just, yeah, I've been trying to, I was talking internally here at the Fan with some of the people up in sales and different people. And they're like, yeah. So, and then a few months we got the Crew and I'm like, you got the Crew coming up in about a month. You better start getting, and they're
month
like,
and a half.
What? And I'm like, yeah, it starts February 24th. And they're like, my God, didn't it just end? And I'm like,
yes,
welcome to soccer. It never stops, baby.
Yeah.
That's why we love it.
That's why we're able to do a podcast once a week throughout the entirety of the year.
Yeah.
About it.
You could sell your soul off to the NFL that gives you a piddly 18 weeks. Yeah.
What's that?
Or you could have soccer, which is here for you. They have to create extra months of the year for soccer. That's right. How it works. We're literally putting Champions League games on top of Europa League games.
And
on
nobody
top of,
knows how it works.
No one knows how it works. And then there's a thing called the Carabao Cup. And everybody's like, is that, do we want that? Do we care?
You got Champions Cup, which used to be Champions League.
Yeah.
And then you've got Campeones Cup, which is a whole different entire thing.
You got
thing.
The Nations League of Nations?
Nations League?
Yeah. Justice League? Something. Anyway, you got all this. It's all coming together.
AFCON, Euros.
AFCON's going on. Can you watch AFCON?
AFCON is on BN. I don't have BN. I will not be able to watch AFCON.
I don't think I have BN. I don't think I do.
I used to love BN.
Yeah, I know.
Ray Hudson used to be. Phil Schoen and... Ray Hudson.
Yeah, they did all
calling it from a studio, I think, down in Orlando.
Yep, that's right.
Ray Hudson saying magisterial and talking about Messi 1,000 times.
Are we getting Ray Hudson on Apple TV to talk about Messi? Because if someone hasn't, they should think about that. I mean, just get Messi on there.
He's
you know?
A little too much for me.
Oh, of course. But you know what? It's fun to watch highlights of. I don't know.
It's not
fun to watch a whole game of. But yeah. The thought, I did see an article, which I forgot to send to you, but I'll just briefly summarize it. It is a guy who was writing for one of the British papers about Messi.
Okay.
And he said, everyone knows Miami's going to be great this year. They've added more talent. Luis Suarez now is coming up to join. So I'm going to write why they're going to suck. And he basically laid out the case of what it would take for Inter Miami to be bad this year. And his point was this, even when Messi was in the lineup, their expected goals was 1.47 a game, which is not, I mean, it's good, but it's not setting the league on fire.
Yeah.
Their expected goals against was like 1.45. It was almost identical because they are so bad defensively, the shape that they have. Because when you dedicate all these resources to guys like Messi, and then you've got guys like Jordi Alba and guys who are great defenders who are also in their late 30s, that you're relying on to be your defense.
Busquets ain't doing any defending.
But these are the guys you're relying on to kind of shore up the back half of your roster. That's a problem when all the money is going to either, you know, these guys who are names, but they're not necessarily, you know, the youngest guys in the world.
Did Julian Gressel join there?
Julian Gressel did sign there. So that's
an offensive defenseman.
That's another guy that it's like this is a two-time MLS Cup winner, and what was happening down the stretch with him on the MLS Cup winner this year. Can't have him starting because you don't think defensively he's going to get the job done on the wing.
Right.
This is a guy they're going to rely on for, I mean, again, he's going to have a ton of assists. I would assume he's going to be very good, but defensively I will be watching a lot of Inter Miami. I know a lot of people will just see Messi. I'll be watching to watch like defensively how they hold up.
Maybe Messi and Suarez will track back.
Yeah, that would be a first.
I saw you with a blank stare on your face.
That would be a thing. I guess it's a first for everybody in their 20-year history of playing soccer. Maybe it's like saying maybe Luis Suarez won't bite a human.
Yes.
Like maybe he won't.
He'll score bangers of goals.
He will. And that's, you know, their goals.
He will also get red carded three times this year.
Oh, yeah. He'll get rid. Yeah. And no doubt you will have injuries because they're old.
You will have them sitting out games.
You will have them sitting out games. And they will also win a bunch of games 4-2. Like no doubt about it. So that is
5-3.
This could also be a moot point, right? If you score 4 or 5 goals a game, but his point of writing this article, and I forget who the author was, but essentially it was, yeah, they did have big games where they scored a lot, but there were games where Messi was playing, and like he took out the games where he was injured and said, here's what they were when Messi played.
Bad.
Here's their expected goals. It wasn't like dramatically up. It was up like a couple tenths of a point, but in overall there were games where it was a wash and they did not score. And you saw the one goal they did score, which was a banger by Messi, but it was like a 1-1 game. And it's, I think it's worth bearing that thought in mind. This is now a full season of Messi, now also a full off season. So we'll
it could
find
also
out.
Be bearing a thought. And this is for a later podcast episode that expected goals is a fake stat.
That's another
we can
have a real conversation about all that, because at the end of the day it's wins and losses, right? And when
and it's
he
also
was,
either you scored or you didn't.
Well, when he right, and when he was in games, they won a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what expected goals don't account for Lionel Messi, right? Cuz you look at the shape, it's looking at the chances, it's looking at how many defenders were there, and it's saying this goal is not scored when people are in these positions 9 times out of 10.
But this guy...
But Lionel Messi scores it because he's Lionel Messi. He's a code breaker when it comes to expected goals. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there's whole reason to have that discussion. You're absolutely right. And that is why the premise of that article is probably flawed, and I shouldn't have even brought it up.
This is why this show is stupid, because nothing matters. It's like the whose line is it anyways?
The points are made.
Yeah, the points are made up, and there are no rules.
Yeah, that's good. We'll take a break, come back. We've got neighbor Eric's question of the day, and the reason Beam may walk away from this podcast if something happens. We will discuss it next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
To Bone and Beam United.
You can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United. Beamer, I did log in multiple times to the Twitter account this week. Did not tweet anything, but it was actually checking in. So trying to do better with my New Year's resolution to actually pay attention to the Twitter feed more.
We were thinking about it.
I was. I didn't jump in with a tweet or anything because never tweet.
Correct. It's a life, lesson. Never tweet. Yeah. Never tweet about anything.
No. Or X, whatever we're supposed to
never
call it.
X. Never X.
Never
the MLS on X.
If you're Elon Musk, never send out whatever that whole panther running through a forest was. My God.
I don't follow him. He pops up on my timeline, it seems, every tweet.
Does he really? Mm-hmm. I'm shocked. It's almost like the guy runs a terrible website that I'm addicted to and still go on, though I shouldn't.
Can't quit it. I can't quit it. I'm an addict.
I know. So let's get into this question about neighbor Eric. What did neighbor Eric bring us today?
Yeah, so he does that question every week. Eric, you were slacking last week. He didn't provide us with a question.
I'm sorry that we didn't remember to ask about it. Then I could have made fun of him for forgetting.
Yes. So bad job out of you. You're already starting off the new year on my resolutions and being the worst possible person that you can be. Worst version of yourself. Here's his question this week. Neighbor Eric's question of the week. In make-believe land, let's say that any player in the world would play in the MLS. If you could pick any player in the world to play for the Crew, who would you sign?
Oh, my God.
So I'm guessing he's talking about, active.
Yeah, right, player. Of course, yeah. I mean,
because if we're talking about any player,
God, I'm going to overthink this.
If we're talking about any player of all time, which opens itself up to an entirely different discussion,
that's different.
Mine would be prime vintage Wayne Rooney, 21-year-old to 26-year-old Wayne Rooney.
Yeah,
but active player, I'm going to need a. The easy answers are Mbappe, Haaland.
That's what I'm saying. Like, my initial thought is, who would I pick between Mbappe and Haaland? And I think. Literally the Crew need someone on the you don't need someone on the left. You've got Yeboah, but he was pretty good.
Yeah, Yeboah.
I'm going to say I'd take Kylian Mbappe over him on the left, and then
it's a slight upgrade.
It's a slight upgrade.
That's no shade thrown to Yaw. He's tremendous. It's a slight
I think
upgrade.
Everyone agrees. I think Yeboah is like, I get it. He's a slight
over
upgrade
over your boy
for me.
Vinny. Vinny on the left would be
that's the thing, right? It's like I like Vinny more personally. I'm trying to think of what's, I'm trying not to overthink it, right? It's like, it's Kylian Mbappe, but who's been better, pound for pound? I don't know. Vinny's had a bit of an up and down year, too. It's not like
he's hurt.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He's had his up and downs, and he is hurt, and he does have that happen. Well, but so does Mbappe.
How about a Jude Bellingham, Aiden Morris, Darlington Nagbe midfield?
Oh, you could talk me into that all day. Talk me into that. Now, Well, the other part is so Cucho doesn't play that top of the formation kind of striker.
He's a roamer, coach.
Yeah. You could still, and again, I know you could get rid of him and put Erling Haaland in front and no one would care. I think you could actually, though, have them both on the field at the same time, which would be so much fun to watch. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to go Erling Haaland just because I just want to see the amount of goals. He's going to score ridiculous goals. No one will talk about Lionel Messi in MLS if Erling Haaland's there, just because even though Messi's the better technical player, Haaland is just a freak goal scorer.
An alien.
And that's it. And you've never seen anything like him in MLS. You've never seen anything like him, I don't think,
ever.
In soccer. So, yes.
You've never seen anything like him in humankind. He's just the one of one monster.
I'm trying to think if we could throw out other guys like.
I'm telling you, I might pick Jude. I may pick Jude,
dude,
to be in the midfield.
Yeah,
he could do everything for you.
My God,
supply balls to Cucho.
Yeah,
would be.
Oh man, you're right.
You'd slide him over on the left if you wanted to.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many other ways I want to go though with, prime Maradona, running rampant on MLS defenses.
One attacker, one midfielder, one defender.
Oh, my.
So the attacker, you're going Haaland?
Yeah, I think so.
Geez.
So. If we're going guys who are playing right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're the only two choices.
Oh, you know what? If we're going guys who, like, just all-timers, just because I'd want to see him doing it, like, in his prime, Ronaldinho. Like, I want to see, you know, like, all that Brazil flair and the just the totally ridiculous ball on the string on his foot, making guys fall over. Like, to me, Thierry Henry was somewhat like that, but...
It's different.
Ronaldinho just... Like, Ronaldinho danced on the ball like no one I've ever seen. And he's not the best player ever or anything like
that.
He's
my favorite. He is shortlist for my favorite players of all time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's one of my all-time favorite players to watch, regardless of if you want to say, well, technically this guy's better, that guy's better, all these other things, you know. I would love to see him, especially in like a crew jersey, just long sleeve crew jersey.
Of course.
Yellow, all yellow kit. Let's go. God, I would love to see that.
Ronaldinho is a great answer.
I'm trying to think defensively.
Prime vintage R9 Ronaldo. Kind of in that same line of thinking of Haaland. Like,
yeah, right. Just not force, deniable.
But we'll also run past you and
you know what
make
I,
you miss.
And the thing, I know people have said this about him, but it bears repeating, is the thing that we often don't talk about with him and the thing that does make him different than Messi. And I'm not in any way, I still think Messi's the better player, all those things. Ronaldo, in his prime, would put in the work defensively.
Yeah.
He would bust his ass defensively. And that was a thing that, not that, like, Messi can only do so much. Like, what's he going to do on a free kick? What's he going to do on a corner defensively?
Not much. I mean, look at him. He's 5'5".
Yeah. Like, but Ronaldo would absolutely, Cristiano Ronaldo would absolutely go after any, like, he was involved in that. He was tracking back in the 90th minute to make sure they saw out the 2-1 win on those plays. Now, in his older years, clearly he's not that guy. He does not do anything for anyone other than himself. But, and even probably back then, he didn't do anything other than other people for himself. But he would put in the work just because, for whatever reason, he would do that defensive work more so than most guys at his stature. And I do think that's something we just... As a little sidebar, we don't talk about him.
I was talking Brazilian R9 Ronaldo.
Oh, you were talking. Oh, that Ronaldo.
That Ronaldo.
Oh, fat Ronaldo.
Not,
my guy.
Yes. No, no, no. Not Cristiano.
My bad.
Yeah,
fat
Ronaldo.
I totally got that wrong. But also a great choice.
Yeah.
He was.
Bruiser.
He's my favorite Ronaldo of the two.
Mine too. And I really liked Cristiano
Ronaldo.
You
had him at Manchester United. You had Cristiano Ronaldo.
Twice.
Yeah. Right. And how'd that second time go?
It went great. Yeah. Prime Rooney if we're doing like all time greats, Prime Rooney. In his prime, like striker, that's my favorite player of all time.
Yeah,
he would go up top. I think in the midfield, if you can give me an Andrea Pirlo in his prime, balls over
course.
The top, like just doing kind of everything.
How about Kaká with some of those too? Like my God, some of the balls he could send in were just.
And then
beautiful.
I think on the back line. At least personally for me, again, doing the whole United thing, I think it's between Vidic and Ronaldo. And you give me Nemanja Vidic with a bad attitude that day. Like, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Nemanja Vidic was, that's a boss right there, man. God, that's good. Yeah. Defensively, I got to say, I probably am out of my depth here on who I would pick just because going back, especially, I'm still like just getting, with soccer history, getting myself reacquainted with like teams that I never watched or never followed. So I can't tell you that I have like, I know I'm forgetting guys, but like, I'm trying to think of, we just saw him play for LAFC. Why am I blanking on
Giorgio
Chiellini? Like defensively, I think there are few players in the world of soccer that understand positioning better than him.
Yeah.
In his prime, take him anytime you want. I know he just retired, but yeah, that's a guy that if the crew had him in his prime defensively, I think you could make an argument there's not many players better than him.
Sergio Ramos, a Carlos Puyol, like those guys.
Yeah, that's true. I'm forget. Yeah, man, I got to go back and think. Yeah, Sergio Ramos was an absolute
also on the
beast.
Same line of thinking, like he's going to get a red card every six games.
Yeah,
but that's kind of what you want.
But man, yeah, and no one's taking any crap. He's taking no crap from anybody. That's, yeah. All right, this is a fun discussion.
Mbappe currently constructed players, Mbappe in the front, Jude overall would be my
number one
pick if I could drop in anybody into this team. And then defender, I'm going Alphonso Davies.
Oh, I like that. We have an Alphonso Davies story you want to talk about real quick. And
he
then
may
we can
be
get to...
linking up with my guy Jude Bellingham.
Yeah, Real Madrid.
Because apparently, I think his contract's coming to a head up at Bayern.
That sounds right. Yeah.
And, you know, he's been left back. He's been left wing. He wants a new contract extension. Bayern maybe not necessarily on the same plans. And good old plucky underdogs, Real Madrid, have said, if you guys can't sign him to a contract and we're going to be unable to work a deal out with Kylian Mbappe, then you know what? Alphonso Davies, we're going
money.
To sign you.
Yeah. You know what? That I keep saying I'm going to buy a Real Madrid jersey, and then I keep going, because like Modric is the jersey I want. And that's another one, by the way, that we could have put in there, like prime Modric.
Prime Toni Kroos.
Yes. Yeah, you know what? Just give me all of Real Madrid's roster from pretty much any year in the last 15 years, and I'll take it.
The inception of time, you could do
that. But like in the last, I think it was like 2009, 2010 was where they were like, hey, we're just going to win like three or four Champions Leagues in a row. Get ready. And then they did that again. Yeah, they're something. But
Our manager, Zinedine Zidane. You even mentioned him.
That's God. This is why this is so difficult. God, there's so many players we could have gone with. All right. But I will say Alphonso Davies would be a guy that I could see getting that Real Madrid jersey if he signs up for the program. If I don't get a Luka Modric.
I've been following Alphonso Davies, Bone, since the beginning days when he's been with my beloved Vancouver Whitecaps.
I watched him play against the Crew. That's the thing. Like Tyler Adams, I remember watching him play against the Crew and being like, all right, yeah, this dude's really good. I hope he gets out of MLS soon because he's going to beat us. And Alphonso Davies is one of those guys that, like, he's going to go places. Who did I just see that signed up? Was it Tejan Buchanan, I want to say, that just signed with a big club over in Europe? I think that's right. Former New England player, I believe Tejan Buchanan, if I'm not mistaken, for the Revs, was the guy that scored the first goal in the new stadium. He scored the first goal because we played the Revs.
He just signed for Inter.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, he just signed a big deal and is now playing for Inter Milan. Like, this is a guy who opened up the lower.com. I'm not talking about, like, old Crew Stadium. Opened up lower.com and I believe was the first guy to score in that stadium.
Great bar trivia.
Yeah, but I'm saying this stadium, which is very recently opened, the guy who helped, like, was one of the first guys to score there, is now playing for Inter Milan. Like, it's not for nobody. He's playing for a Champions League team. Like, this is something. This is huge. This is, now watch him get loaned out and all this doesn't matter, but my point
he's
is
playing with Colin Farrell's favorite team, Club Bruges.
Yeah, and he wasn't playing. He's also playing for Champions League there. I'm just saying this is the talent, and this is why I get so worked up about MLS when people are like, "Oh yeah, it's not belief. It's beneath me."
Farmers League.
It's like it's not anymore, man. There's dudes who are going places, and yes, they leave, but that's because they're being developed here. You're seeing that, and then you've got guys that are coming back just off their peak. They're not quite in it, but. And then you get Messi, who's like old fart, who's not going to do anything this year. Please, God. Please don't let him do anything. All right, let's talk about one final guy who's, I would say he's not even peaked, but he's about approaching his apex, and that is your guy. We just talked about him, Kylian Mbappe. Yep. The rumors we talked about last week are that he's got to go to Real Madrid this window.
We didn't say this on the podcast, so you said this to me off.
Okay, I thought we maybe did, but okay,
no,
that's fine.
Maybe you did.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Who cares?
Anyways,
we're talking about Real Madrid and basically that if they don't do it this time, it's not happening. Like, if they don't sign Kylian Mbappe in the winter window, Madrid's like, we're done screwing around with this.
We did talk about this last week.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we both were kind of like, all right, let's see what happens the next couple weeks. Well, now it's appearing again. The latest turn in this is that he's not willing to sign with them. And so then it becomes, all right, well, then maybe he just sticks around for the next, you know, a few months, and then in the summer, but maybe not. Maybe a team from the Premier League drops in.
Well, it's going to be like a Moby Dick situation, right? I mean, for Real Madrid, like, they've scouted him. They put in the groundwork the whole time. Like, when he was at Monaco.
Well,
I think, like, even when he was at Monaco, like, Real Madrid was interested in signing.
Absolutely.
But then PSG beats him to the punch. They have a better offer. So he spent some time in Paris and, you know, won a World Cup. And
kind of been good. Kind of been
another,
a thing.
Played for another World Cup. Just lost last year at this time to Argentina. And so they've been rumored to be in the running for years, Real Madrid has, for the Kylian Mbappe sweepstakes. And how long can he play at PSG? Crash out of the Champions League every year. You don't win anything. You had Messi. You had Neymar. You had Mbappe. They weren't able to do anything. Didn't get past, I think, the round of eight in the Champions League when they were all together.
Right.
I think the deepest they've gone into the competition was during COVID, where they got into a semifinal. And they got knocked out. But Real Madrid has been calling all the way and putting the groundwork to be able to sign him. And all these rumors coming out that, which will make me quit watching soccer as a whole, would be that Kylian Mbappe apparently, and again, this is all rumors. This is why I love the transfer windows when they're open, is that if he doesn't go to Real Madrid, then he would love to play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And if he chooses to play in the Premier League, then the team that he's always wanted to play for in the Premier League is Liverpool.
Oh, my.
Imagine.
No.
From my perspective, the rest of the league, from your, Aston Villa perspective as well. But, who would you say that United's two biggest rivals are right now?
Well, currently? Obviously. I mean, they're always going to be Liverpool and Manchester City.
Yeah, who would be the lead guys on Manchester City in Liverpool then? I mean, who would be the strikers if that happened?
Oh, yeah, it'd be Haaland and Mbappe.
Yeah, we just talked about them. If anybody in the world that you're going to put on the crew would be those two guys, and if Kylian Mbappe goes to Liverpool and four times a year I had to deal with those jabrones, I'd be done. I'd quit. I'm done. I think this podcast will end. I will support the crew as much as I possibly humanly can with every fiber of my being. I will be done. I'll be done with European stuff.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
I
couldn't handle it. That'd be the end of me.
And this is because with those two teams, you're thinking four times a year, the over under on goals for those two. Am I going like 7?
10.
I said over under, so you take the over on 7.
Hammer the over
on that. I mean, that's more than a goal a game. You're thinking that those guys would be scoring against you. I hope, you know what? I've told you, I don't root for Manchester United, but I root for you. And I am not in any way, shape, or form wanting to see this happen. Now, Liverpool fans, I know.
Oh, they'd be over the moon.
Yeah, I know that we have a lot of Liverpool fans who listen, and I'm not.
And they're awesome.
Yeah,
they're
but great. But don't pull punches. You hate them. You hate them. You hate Liverpool. Come on. You can like them personally and hate their team and hate that this. And if it happens and they're happy about it, you'll hate the fact that they're happy about it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
I did see something pretty awesome on Instagram last night about Liverpool and bringing in a young fan and getting to meet Jurgen Klopp and Mo Salah. The worst part is, with them, and Jurgen complains a lot, and so be it. Every soccer manager does. But the worst part about City and Liverpool is, they all seem to be really likable.
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
Yeah. I know, man. Jurgen Klopp is likable. Pep. I mean, again, not on the sidelines.
Correct.
When you hear them talking.
Yes.
Pep is very likable. Jurgen is very likable.
Erling Haaland's likable fella.
When you hear all these guys talking off the field, they're amazing to hear. And even like Pep and Jurgen, like I said, you'll see them complaining, and then you'll the histrionics on the sidelines where they act like, "Oh no, no!" And it's like, you've got $900 million worth of players on the field. Shut the f up. Like, I don't want to hear about how you're getting jobbed by the officials while you've got like perhaps the greatest assemblage of talent we've ever seen in soccer between. But then, that drives me nuts. But also,
the grass was too wet today.
Extremely likable fellows. I went when we saw Liverpool up in Ann Arbor, went up there to watch Liverpool and your guys, Manchester United. Mm-hmm. And the Liverpool fans, this was right after they had won, Champions League, because they did that, right?
Yeah.
They won that before they won the league, if I'm not mistaken.
They did.
Yeah. Either way, it was that or they won the league, one of the two. Anyway, that summer, they had all the Liverpool fans were, of course, in the bars in Ann Arbor. And they had a thing the night before where they had like a rally get together for all the Liverpool fans that were there. And they have a guy who sings some songs that are Liverpool songs. It was very popular among the Liverpool fans. And so Jurgen Klopp is at this bar and he's like singing along with the guy and like buying beers for people and speaking to the crowd. It was just so down to earth. It was such a, and you get the vibe of like, yeah, man, this guy would be if life changed, he would be still coaching like U10 soccer and standing on the sidelines and giving good instruction to 10-year-olds if that's what he had to do. Like, he just loves the game, and I appreciate that.
I do too. And this video that I'm watching where they're bringing in the young fan, there's a video of them singing. Like, he's at Anfield. This young fan is, he probably, I don't know, 12 or 13, and there's a video of him, and they're singing "You'll Never Walk Alone." He's got tears in his eyes, like the young fan does, and like for what it means to him to be at a Liverpool game. And then Jurgen sees this video, and he sends him a video, and they bring him to the training facility over at Liverpool. And Jurgen Klopp's, you know, talking about it. He's like, I showed this video to our team multiple times, and your passion for the club is unrivaled, and that's what this club is about the passion. And Jurgen Klopp is like, he's like, you're going to make me cry because of the passion that you have. And I'm like, damn it. Jurgen, why?
Yeah.
Why? I'm supposed to not like you. You're the best.
I know, man.
And if they sign Kylian Mbappe, I'm done.
Yeah, man. That's going to, well, you know what? There's always room on the MLS for you to just really dive into that league. You can watch your Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yeah.
You can watch, I don't know. Let's see. Did they add a new team this year? No.
No.
St. Louis is still the newest team.
I'll watch Caleb Porter in New England.
There you go. That's right.
Very exciting.
Watch
games.
Them on their crappy field that no one wants to, Messi won't play on. I did see somebody, because did you see they moved the Inter-Miami game from, Sporting Kansas City is not going to have that game.
I did see that, yeah.
They're going to have it in, they're not going to have it at their stadium, they're going to have it at the Chiefs stadium, right? So, holds, what, 60,000, 70,000 people, yeah, whatever it holds.
Big.
Huge.
NFL stadium.
Yeah, and they've got natural surface there, so that'll be something. But then people were like, this won't be the only one that moves, because these, you know, these stadiums are like, we want to sell this game out, we want to make all this money.
Except for Etchelette.
Well, right. But I also saw that, you know, a few Crew fans are speculating, like, maybe would they do this with the Messi game and put it in Ohio Stadium?
No.
And here's the thing. One, like, I think that would be hilarious. I hope they do it. Only because then all these people, one, who paid all this money for these tickets would then be like, you'll be close, but not as close as you were at lower.com field, because you'll probably be low seats. But then all the extra seats, everybody buy these tickets will probably sell 50, 60,000 tickets or whatever. Maybe they'll sell it out. I don't know. And then Messi will go, what is it? Field turf, narrow field, and it's in October? I'm out.
It's on Wednesday?
Not playing. Like, I'm just saying, it would be hilarious to me if he pulled a Chicago Fire on them and just was like, yeah, sorry, I'm not going to be there.
Crew won't do that. They won't.
No, they shouldn't. I honestly, you know what? If people want to pay $1,000 to go watch these games on the aftermarket, go ahead. But you should enjoy the fact that you have a loud building. And let all the Crew fans who sold their tickets off so that other people could watch, let them enjoy it. But I know there are a lot of Crew fans who are like, I'm not selling just because I want to watch him lose. Like, I want to watch him, but I also want to watch him lose.
Yeah.
I want to go to this game and root against him. And I respect that. I don't think he's playing. I feel like I want to put five on it right now and just say Messi will not play in that game.
Inclined to agree with you on that.
Either because of just the chances of injuries, everything else. Like,
it's in October. It's a Wednesday.
It's October. They could be out of it. Or they could be like leading the East for all we know. And then he's like, I'm resting for the playoffs. Either way, who knows? I hope not. But all right. That's it for us. Beam, thanks for the time. I don't know why I said that like you wouldn't give it to me anyway.
I was like, what are you talking about?
I just meant like, thanks for what you do. Thank you.
You know what? Thank you for what you do.
Hey, there you go.
Thank you, neighbor Eric, for what you do. Thanks to our listeners for everything that you do.
Thank you for listening. Yeah. We'll be back next week with, I don't know, more stuff. Something will happen. Oh, you know what? Premier League's back this weekend, finally. So all the leagues are back, fully running after the break.
Kylian Mbappe will be a Liverpool player by then. We'll be done.
Okay. Maybe our last episode. We'll find out. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United. We'll see you next time.